Well, everyone out there, you are back with Matt and Jamie for Can You Believe That? It's been a very busy week with news. We have some things that we were going to cover last week that we're going to put into this show. And just in the past, say what, 2-3 days, there's been many articles that have piqued our interest. We are going to break this down into segments because of the number of articles we have. So first up, we'll talk about the law and then politics before we head into entertainment. So, sound like a plan, Matt?
Sounds like a plan to me.
So in our usual style, I'll pitch them up to Matt and he'll bat them out. So our first article, probably the biggest thing on our list today, is, well, the one I'm reading is from ABC News, is Sandra Bland's death probe being treated like a murder investigation. So if, for those of you who may not have heard, Sandra Bland was pulled over for a routine traffic stop. And next thing you know, she's supposedly committed suicide in a jail cell, even though things just don't line up. They released some footage that tells a little more of the story. Bottom line is, she was driving, this cop was speeding up towards her, she moved over to get out of his way, and then he pulled her over for not signaling. From there, it just took a crazy turn. So, Matt, you want to have your say on it?
Yeah, the crazy turn ends up cops being mad because you dare speak to them with a little bit of attitude. I mean, and I heard some audio before I saw any of the video.
Yes.
The officer asked her if she had an attitude and if she had a problem, or was it she had a problem? I forget exactly which.
Yes. Yeah,
but her response was, well, you came running up on me. I tried to get out of your way and you pulled me over for not signaling. Yeah, I'm kind of upset about that. You're pulling me over for no reason. And then it turned into, well, put out your cigarette. And she's like, I'm in my car. I don't have to put out my cigarette.
And this is after he made her wait when he took her license and everything. He had her sitting there for a good 5 minutes, it seemed from the video, before he got back out of the car to go. So he's purposely delaying her, it looked like.
Yeah, he's purposely delaying her, which is illegal and a violation of policy. Then then when she says, well, why do I have to put my cigarette out? I'm in my car. He turns around and says, well, get out of the car. It's like, I don't have to get out of my car. And he keeps escalating the situation and
pulled his taser on her.
He threatens to taser. All he had to do was give her a warning and let her go on about her business.
Yep.
I mean, they used to make jokes about films, about on films or these little cop reality video shows where white people are cussing cops out.
Yeah.
And snapping out on them. And all the officer kept doing was like, oh, here's the ticket. Well, here's the ticket.
Yep.
Well, here's the ticket. You know, he didn't have to go through the process of trying to arrest her. Well, the only reason he arrested her, obviously, is because she's black, and nobody can convince me that that is not the case.
Well, and last I heard, there are no laws for having attitude. You can have attitude. Well, she was giving him attitude, but from the point of view of he was harassing her. From the start to finish, he was harassing her. And this is a person who was a civil rights activist. So she had been dealing with justice issues for, you know, other people and just being sensitive to that. And now she was the victim herself. So, yes, she had an attitude. But the things that the cop did went way beyond his remit as a police officer.
Yeah, way, way beyond his thing as a police officer. So, I mean, he had absolutely no business doing what he did.
No.
And, you know, she complains about getting her head slammed off the ground. In hearing stuff about what a conversation with her sister, she was complaining about her arm and her shoulder, or both, to her sister.
Right.
So she had been abused. the department has admitted that he violated policy, but he's just been placed on leave. And this person who had contacted a bail bondsman all of a sudden decided to kill themselves.
Right.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah. And
no.
As the family said, you know, she was going down there for a job at her alma mater, something she had loved and wanted to do. So there was no indication that she wanted to, she was going to be susceptible to suicide from that little altercation. She was talking about suing him at the during the arrest. So I seriously doubt you're going to talk about suing someone and go from seeing their your justice done in court to I'm just going to kill myself and not see anything happen. So it's very fishy. Plus they mentioned that she was 6 feet and the cell was 6 feet. So I don't know how you can hang yourself with little to no room to extend your neck, you know.
Right.
And again, it's always these cases where the people hang themselves or they commit suicide in jail where no one is around when you're in the most controlled environment ever.
Right. And apparently there was no camera near her cell.
Conveniently.
For some strange reason. Then they turn around and, you know, the DA is saying that she acted crazily. She barely raised her voice.
Yeah.
She barely raised her voice. It was the officer that kept getting louder and louder and louder.
And quickly escalated, as you said. He quickly escalated the situation. She was asking reasonable questions that anyone would ask in that situation of why an officer is asking her to do things that are beyond what he should be doing for a routine traffic stop. What's the matter if you're smoking in your car? He was at the point where all he had to do was hand her the ticket and drive off. So why have that insistence? And then how do you go from that to yanking? He opened her door and yanked her out of the car.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm roughing you up. You try and fight back. Now you're resisting arrest type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the game that some police play. Yeah. And they sit there, and then when you say something to them, you're wrong. When you go to sue them, you're wrong. When you turn around and go to court, you're just imagining it, everything. There's no racial bias in the way police conduct their jobs. Get out of here.
Well,
everybody with common sense knows that that's not the case.
To further muddy the waters, they released a video, and there were noticeable glitches where some scenes repeated themselves, the tracking wasn't right, and they tried to fix that by releasing another video, but claiming that nothing's been edited or altered in any way. So it just makes it look even more suspicious. Now, my personal opinion, I believe they're going to uphold that she committed suicide because, you know, what else are they going to do?
Oh, yeah, because it's going to be, well, our cops didn't do anything wrong. She was the aggressor. Meanwhile, the whole time she's in the picture frame, she's not being aggressive. She followed his orders.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, she goes from standing and she's tall woman. She was taller than him.
Yep.
She goes, next time you see film of her, she's on the ground. And you could see that the dang tape was edited.
Yep.
Come on now.
Now, they, as you said, they did put him on suspension, and they have at least admitted that he did not do things properly, but we've seen too many cases where that doesn't necessarily go to the point where the cop will be formally reprimanded or what should happen, you know, lose his job over this behavior.
Lose his job. I mean, you can't say he went in and killed her. There's no evidence for that.
They'll never prove
her
it.
Her dying in custody is fishy.
Yes.
And that may never be solved, but that man should never be a police officer anywhere ever again.
No.
Because he obviously does not have a temperament for it.
No. Again, it's tragic. It's a situation that should have never occurred and all instigated by this cop who it looks like he was profiling her from the beginning anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he probably was. And like I said, my understanding from listening to other shows where they've been talking about this subject is that Prairie View A&M, historically black college, apparently at one time was an old plantation. So with that type of atmosphere down in the heart of Texas, as the song says, there have always been racial tension between that campus and the surrounding area around that campus.
Right.
So, yeah, he was probably doing his little, oh, I'm a F with somebody thing. And he picked her.
Well,
it could have been anybody.
You said there was another case also, similar circumstances.
Down in Georgia. Now, this young woman was actually suspected of committing a crime, but she was a teenager. She was only 18 years old. It took place in Alabama. And her name was, as soon as I find it here, Kendra Darnell Chapman. Okay? She had been charged. She was being arrested for robbery. Apparently, she stole somebody's cell phone. But she got arrested and taken into jail at 6:22 p.m. She was last seen alive at 6:30 p.m., 8 minutes later. And then when they did the welfare check almost 2 hours later, because it was 7:50, or almost an hour and a half later, because it was 7:50 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Apparently she was unresponsive, and they pronounced her dead, saying that she hung herself. Now, from the article that I'm reading, I'm not seeing anything about the dimensions of the cell. I haven't heard anything about what her demeanor was or anything like that, because it's just an article, a small, short article in Huffington Post,
right,
that came out that hit 5 days ago. At the same time, you know, it's very rare for black women to commit suicide.
Yeah.
The stats I heard is it's really rare for black women to commit suicide.
Well, and in general, for women to commit suicide and it's completed, it's not just a act for attention, is very rare.
Yeah,
because men,
it's usually, yeah, and it's not by hanging.
They tend to cut themselves. Because they use methods that are going to get attention but not result in life-threatening injuries, whereas men tend to do things in a deliberate way that will guarantee they're going to succeed.
Yes. Well, some men.
Just the statistics. I mean, we have to sit through that stuff every year for, you know, in the military. So you get all the numbers at least once a year, usually more than that. But yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't understand.
Well, I had another article. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on. I didn't mean to cut you.
No, I was saying, I don't understand, and once again, we're being told as a public that here we are, the police are not doing anything wrong, they're just doing their jobs, and these people are doing this, this, that, and the other. Oh yeah, they just killed themselves. Hold on, I don't see an 18-year-old killing herself over a petty robbery charge, because it's a cell phone, it might even be a felony.
Yeah.
But something like that will probably get you like a couple months in jail at the most, and you're going home.
Yeah.
People aren't killing themselves over that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't know this young woman's mind state, but I'm having a hard time believing that, and I'm really having a hard time believing that somebody like Sandra Bland, who was on her way to the job that she really wanted to do, in a place she really wanted to do it,
right,
had no hints of they. People have tried to say she was depressed, but what black person isn't tired and gets down sometimes because
of the madness
we have to see out here?
But I mean, just people in general, you go through periods where you might feel depressed. It's generally temporary and based on situation. So she puts a video out there, but the media instantly jumps on that to paint this picture. Oh, she was a depressed woman. You know, that wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't.
It may have fit her at a certain point, but that was not her day-to-day demeanor.
Right. No, I don't believe it was her day-to-day demeanor. I definitely don't believe it was her demeanor that day. Somebody that defiant,
right,
without being belligerent and nasty to the officer, somebody that defiant, somebody who was screaming in protest of what was being done to them by this officer, no, that's not a person who goes in and hangs themselves.
No.
I'm sorry. It just isn't.
No, she seemed like someone who couldn't wait to get her payback because she knew she was in the right and that it would come out in court where she planned to take them.
Right.
But
and
I have another article.
Go ahead.
I have another article of a cop in Arizona who is mistreating a woman. And this is out of the Daily News. Arizona cop illegally enters home, arrests naked woman. So apparently there was a domestic incident. She is arguing. Someone called the police. The other person she was arguing with was not even present at the time. She was in the shower. The cops show up. Her daughter had opened the door when they arrived. She comes out of the shower. She had left nothing but a towel on. They start getting aggressive with her verbally. So she said, I'm going to go get my phone and record this. They come storming into her house illegally, start grabbing on her. This one cop in particular goes trying to, well, he did handcuff her and says she's resisting as she's trying to hold the towel on herself. She's, you know, no clothes, dripping wet. And he's saying that she's resisting. He handcuffs her. Eventually, they leave no charges or anything or filed against her because they had nothing. You know, they were in the wrong. And to make matters worse, this is a woman who had been molested before. And this treatment she was getting just, you know, made her that much more afraid during the situation.
Right.
So, yeah. It's just the idea of someone coming in your house, taking you out of the shower, and embarrassing you that way. For what? Again, just cops completely overreacting to a situation where the incident that had preceded it was already dealt with. I mean, if she's in the shower, you can't really argue with someone who's not present and you're in the shower.
Right.
But his thing was, same as with the other cop, don't take attitude with cops because we don't play. That's what he told her.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? I pay you. My tax money pays you. No, I should not be calling you out your name or being any ruder to you than I would be to any other human being on the planet. But you are there to serve me, not vice versa. You're there to protect and serve me. That's your job. You're not there to harass me. You're not there to abuse me, verbally or physically.
And they don't have the right to enter your personal areas without warrants, without just cause. In both of these cases, you have cops that are entering personal space with no valid reason. But they feel they're entitled. And then once they get in there, they still expect you to respect them. And then it becomes more about your disrespect of their position. Well, you just disrespected me. You know, being a cop does not put you above the law.
Right. Absolutely, it does not. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that attitude from the police, whereas we can do no wrong. And I'm tired of people, because I heard this morning, I'm also tired of people who get on this kick where, well, just do what the cop says. Just do what the cop says. Well, you know what? If you're black and you do what the cop says, sometimes you end up dead.
I know, but I would say that it's better to do what's being said. You know, if you have a right to record in that state, you should record what goes on. If you can call, you know, they have those apps where you just tap one button, it'll call people and record your conversation. So it's not just your word against the cops. Because they have such heartburn with people not respecting their authority, even when they're in the wrong, or especially when they're in the wrong, I still say it's better to do what the cop says. Yes, you could always say something after the fact and go to their proper authorities to have things investigated and all that, but you have more likely a chance of being killed, as we see, by resisting by doing
well,
the suggestion?
I'm not advocating that anybody resist. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is, you know, people are saying you shouldn't stand up for your rights just to survive, just so you can survive the situation.
Oh, yeah.
And trust me, I get it. Trust me, I get it. You know, the last thing I want to do is give the cop a little hint of something so they can make my life even more miserable while they're messing with me. At the same time, they're violating a right that they're supposed to be protecting.
Right.
I can go where I choose in this country that isn't restricted territory or private property. I can go where I please, when I please, as long as I'm not violating some law. And, you know, getting harassed like that, and the people will just go, well, just do what the cop says. Well, just do what the cop says. Well, wait a minute. You're not the one getting pulled over every 5 minutes.
Well, and I think...
Thankfully, I'm not either. I've been blessed and been lucky, knock on wood. It hasn't happened to me often. But at the same time, it has happened to me. Well, and I've been lucky enough to walk away from these situations. Other people aren't.
Well, and I think in both these situations, the women did what you're supposed to do. I mean, she challenged the cop when he was doing things that were beyond what he's supposed to do legally. So that's on the record. But it's when you start getting belligerent and all that that they get cause, and then they get more support on their side when the whole thing blows over and people start looking at it from outsider's perspective. But, yes, right. You should know your rights, and you should challenge that. And you can do that, though, without being confrontational.
Right.
And then if you can't control the cop going off half-cocked.
Right.
But from your perspective, you could control what you do. And so I agree with you in that respect that, yes, you have a right to say if a cop's violating your civil rights, you're violating my civil rights. You know, why are you doing this? This goes against what the law states. So you can say that, have it on the record, but not be combative physically or anything
like
that with a cop.
Well, what isn't combative? You know, you saying anything other than yes or no, sir, is combative to a lot of these police officers.
Oh, I agree
with
that, that they feel that way. But I'm saying, especially when you have stuff recorded.
Right.
But not that that helps, as we see in these situations all the time. But at least it's there, you know.
Right.
You've handled yourself properly.
Right.
So this cop in Arizona, unfortunately, even though, again, they agree he searched or went into the house illegally, he was allowed to retire with his full pension.
Of course.
In the middle of the investigation. So.
Of course. There's never any penalty for a cop because, oh, cops are wonderful. They never do anything wrong. And you know what? The first thing I see cops do wrong every day? You know who the worst traffic scofflaws are? Cops. They turn illegally. They turn on their lights just to get through a red light.
No, they're responding.
No. Because they turn them off as soon as they're through the damn light. they do all these illegal things on the road. They speed. They do all kind of crazy stuff on the road, but they get a bug up their butt about you doing it. See, if anybody should be breaking their neck to obey the law, it is those who enforce it. But they're never called on the carpet for that stuff that they do.
Well, I have one article on cops that's not bad news. Here.
Yeah, let's go with that, because I would like to feel a little bit positive about somebody today.
In Ferguson, Missouri, they just hired a black officer to act as the interim police chief. He's from Glendale, Arizona. His name is Andre Anderson. He's been a cop there in Glendale for, I think, 24 years, something like that.
Okay.
They're hoping that he will change the attitudes out there. He's already gone on the record. He had a briefing today or a press conference today stating that he and his officers will be out there. He said he can't tell you exact dates, but you can be certain that they will be out there engaging in the communities to try and turn things over. If his temporary measures work, then he will most likely be hired on full time as a permanent chief, and he would be the first black chief in that area. So that's a big deal. Glendale's where my wife is from originally, out in that area.
Right.
Excuse me. So I think that people from the West do have a different perspective that's not as prevalent, say, in the East and Midwest. They're, in general, things are more multicultural. So mm-hmm. I think it's good that you can bring someone from that far away that will have a different perspective and hopefully bridge that gap between the officers and the people in the community. So we'll see. We'll watch it, report back as things come out.
Yes, definitely. I just would like to say that having been out in Arizona before, yeah, people out west are definitely different. I didn't get as far west as California, but people out west are definitely different. And it is just, I guess it's just a mentality. It's kind of not as fast-paced.
No,
it's even here in Pittsburgh was. I mean, I found Phoenix and Pittsburgh to be very similar.
Right.
When I was out there in the late 90s, in positive and negative ways. But they were very similar places in attitude and speed of life, even though Phoenix was a much, much bigger metro area with many more people. But I'm hoping that he does bring some change to that department and that he is more than willing to fire officers who don't want to go with what he wants. Because the biggest thing in places like that needs to happen, and even here, and I'm talking about Ferguson and the St. Louis area, and even here in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure they have it where you are in Jersey now too, the old boy networks need to be broken up and destroyed.
Yeah,
they need to go away.
You'll never see that though.
But you'll never see that completely.
They just need to be minimized. That's about all you can do. Yeah. Minimize their effects.
Yeah.
And bringing outsiders is one way of doing that. Outsiders with authority.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's very true. That's very true. It's just hard to do. The old boys network is hard to break up because, you know, so-and-so passes on to his son, passes on to his son. But, yeah, bringing in somebody from the outside would help. I mean, because I'm going to be real honest. Here in Pittsburgh, and you may remember some of these guys, too, Pittsburgh's had several black police chiefs.
Yeah.
It's done nothing to make police community relations better.
Yeah.
It's done absolutely nothing here.
Well, and at the end of the day, I mean, color is not the only determining factor as to whether you'll be good. Just because you're the same skin as most of the people that are in that community, personality, experience, training, all those things come into play. So also I think sometimes they set it up so they can say purposely that, well, we tried, it didn't work, right? But they weren't as selective, or should I say they were very selective in who they picked put in those positions sometime. I don't think that's the case here, though.
Right.
I believe he's a person who's black, but he's more than that, a highly qualified officer who's going to be able to deal with what needs to be done.
Well, what is his current rank in Glendale? Is he just a patrol officer?
No.
Is he a management level officer?
He's done it all, really, and he's has a long experience of being active in the community with different groups. So things that aren't specifically police-related, just activities that were part of, like, children's outreach and other things like that. You know.
Okay.
So he's run the gamut of jobs there in Glendale, plus the community piece.
No, that's cool. I mean, I hope it works. I hope they can fix the divide in the community, because Ferguson, like a lot of other places, definitely needs it. But they seriously have to undo the monetizing of black criminality.
Yeah, and I think they've got so much attention on that. Even when I was leaving, much of that was changing out there because of the federal interest. So you've got before I left, there were, I think, two or three cops at least around there, or like chiefs and stuff, who lost their jobs just as a blowback from them expanding their investigations to all those little counties around there.
Right.
So it's, okay, it's changing slowly, hopefully for the better. But I got a couple more articles here, and then we'll move on. We're running kind of long. So I've got now a couple articles that are on individuals who've gotten in trouble with the law. One is, there's a man in Ohio, Paul Pelton. He saw a horrible accident where two cars got hit. There were two teens in one of the cars. So some people went and they were actually helping out. But this guy took his phone and started jamming it all in the face of the people and around the vehicle to film. He actually filmed one of the teens that died later on and was in the way. So the cops arrested him after he had posted on Facebook. He was trying to sell the footage to one of the media outlets, who they denied or declined it. But the cops were kind of at a loss because there wasn't anything on the books really to stop that kind of behavior.
Right.
So what they got him for was pretty much, you know, interfering and trespassing. So they're light because the laws have not caught up to pace with this new always-on media-centric world.
Ooh, you know what, though? I think there should be an interference law, but that law would have to be really, really carefully written.
Exactly.
Because if they write it the wrong way, you will quit seeing these "we caught a cop abusing somebody"
yes.
situations. Because right now, it is completely legal in all 50 states. And any law they try to pass to make it illegal is against the Constitution.
Yeah. Well,
we'll lose on challenge, but it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, why are you in the way? If you're going to film this, get out of the way.
Well, they got him for...
You're not a news person.
They got him for entering a crime scene.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it became a crime scene with that incident. But in Europe, they have a law there where if someone's in an accident, it's the Good Samaritan law. You have to assist. So that's what they get you for. So it wouldn't be necessarily on the recording, but... if he say he was in Germany, he would be arrested for not trying to assist.
Okay.
So if you have more of those type of laws, it kind of counteracts those who would go out there just to film it. Because, I mean, this guy actually opened up the door and stuck the camera in the face of one of the teens.
What?
And was walking around the front of the car right after the crash while people were trying to help.
Oh, see, no. Somebody should have hauled off and whooped his ass. That's what should have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have. I'd have decked him and broke up his phone, so he wouldn't have had anything. But So watch that, people. And then this one is kind of a well, it's not kind of. It's a very sad event. excuse me. We had a Kuwaiti-born American who shot up two reserve center or a recruiting stations at Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So you've probably heard the news. There's now five Marines and Navy men who died. And it looks like they were actually trying to redirect the gunmen from the crowds. And that's why they were the ones that got singled out and killed. But it was a horrible event. I mean, you know,
yes, it was.
Our hearts go out to the families.
Definitely.
The media, what do you think about their response to this event?
Well, some media and some punditry instantly went to the, hey, look at his name. Hey, look at his kin. Oh, he's a Kuwait. He was born in Kuwait. Oh, yeah, it's a terrorist. It must be ISIS. Not necessarily. I mean, I followed it insofar as they started trying to say He was ISIS born. He got radicalized because he went to Jordan. He went to Jordan at some point. My understanding of him is he wasn't very active in the Islamic community. He was he was kind of like most Christians are. Yeah, I go to church on the holidays.
Well, the main reason he went out there is because he's got alcohol and drug problem. And so the family sent him out there to detox him, really, because you can't get that stuff out there as easily. So it seemed like the right thing to do. So I don't believe, I mean, I'm sure there was a little bit of thought in his mind as to the radical Islam literature and things that he had read and some people he had come in contact with. But I don't think that was his main motivation for the shooting. Yeah. He just seemed to be a troubled person. He truly was.
Right. Hadn't he had a DUI recently or something like that?
Yeah. He had just come back and then he got popped for, he had white substance on his nose and some other stuff. And he was embarrassed and ashamed that he had just, went back on the wagon so fast after returning from his detox trip.
Right.
And so they're thinking that may have been the trigger that set him into depression. So in reality, it seems like it was more of a suicide would have been by cops, you know.
Yeah.
Type of situation.
Right. And, you know, and then you have the reaction of the brave would pee their pants as soon as somebody actually shot at them. Who all ran out to like, I'm going to stand guard here.
Yeah.
Because you don't allow our people to defend themselves. You know what? You were in the military 20 years or so.
Over 20 years.
Yeah. And, I know other people who were in the military. Everybody I've talked to said that guns outside of the armory or the weapons ranges and stuff are not prevalent on base.
No.
They're locked up. They're locked away.
Yep.
Nobody wants you roaming the base with weapons.
I mean, the
guards had them. That was it.
I mean, I was in the Middle East twice, and one of my jobs the first time was actually to watch local nationals doing their jobs on base. Stuff like that. You didn't have weapons. And,
right.
I mean, we had one incident where one guy, he stole a vehicle there in the parking lot. And it wasn't at my base. It was down the road. But he stole a vehicle in the parking lot and drove over some American soldiers that were going to the dining hall. But, I mean, again, he didn't even have access to a weapon there. And that's in a areas that are declared war zones. And what do you think would happen if you had that in the States with armed guns all around recruitment centers? This is our place where we try and have our best face as the military to bring people in. It's the most friendly you'll ever see the military at the recruiting centers, you know?
It sure is. I remember getting recruited.
to have guns there, it was a tragic event, but also how many times has this happened? It's happened a couple times where recruiting offices have had people get shot at or actually been killed in shootings for other reasons. You know, I think one was cheating, another was just same kind of situation. Someone was troubled, but they wanted to target military, and it was an easy target. But we already have a problem with weapons everywhere. Do you really want armed military people in civilian centers in the heart of America?
Yeah, I don't, because my understanding of it is it's actually against the law for them to operate on American soil. So them being armed in uniform on American soil, and it's not a National Guard situation, that's actually against the law, isn't it?
Yeah, and then they don't know what kind of logistical problems that would create for these recruiters many of them don't go near a military base on their day-to-day work. They're nowhere near the base. And so where are you going to save that firearm? They can't take it home with them. Right. It's a military weapon. It has to stay in the army. Where's the armory? Oh, it's, you know, an hour, 3 hours away.
Right. Yeah, because how was I saying? The weapon isn't theirs. The weapon is the government's.
Yeah. I mean, when I carry weapons, you turn that weapon in at the end of each day, even though you were coming back in 6 or 12 hours.
Right.
You come back, you sign out your weapon into your shift. You turn your weapon back in. That's every military installation everywhere.
Right, right.
So what are these people going to do who are in the community? And there's generally a few people at a recruiting station. You know, if you have all services, you may have maybe 10 people there max. Normally, it's going to be 3 or 4 or one person representing each service.
Right. I mean, back when around the time we were both coming out of high school, I think there was only one or two guys in the Air Force office.
Yeah.
There was only one or two guys in the Marine office. The Navy had 5 or 6. The Army had 5 or 6. Because that also, I think, was dependent on the size of each service, too.
Well, yeah, and how many people they bring in.
And what they were looking for.
Right, yeah.
And what they wanted, you know.
Right.
I mean, the Army wanted bodies. The Navy wanted bodies. The Marines were the smallest service. The Air Force don't want you unless you can count to 10 and don't have to use your fingers and toes.
Yeah.
You know, the Army wants bodies. You know what I mean? So it's like, come on.
But for these people to go out there and try and make this into a political thing where our government doesn't protect our people and they're walking out there and going, our military does not need civilians protecting them. To me, that is a bigger slap in the face to the military. And the Marine spokesmen came out and they're telling them, go home. We don't need this protection. The Army chief who's outgoing said that they're looking into it and to whether people should be armed. But honestly, I don't think it will go to that. Because let's face it, you're in America.
Yeah, you are in America. You represent the most respected set of regular people in America. You know, you hear a lot of people talk trash on it. There are a lot of people that will talk trash on the military.
Yeah.
But let a Marine in uniform come stand somewhere.
Yeah.
Let an Army guy come in full uniform come stand somewhere. None of those people who are talking trash is going to go up to them those people and talk trash.
And as
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And as these guys have showed, you know, even without a weapon, they're not defenseless.
No.
The military. So yeah, it's ridiculous. These freedom groups and the one in I think it was Texas, they call themselves the 3 percenters.
Yeah.
3% of what? Stupidity?
You know, there's a whole lot more stupidity.
They're the stupidest of the stupid.
Yeah, you're the top. You're top ranked stupid.
So yeah, but enough on that. Unless you had something else.
Yeah, well, I got something else. Since you brought up the sovereign citizen horsehooey, and since we were talking about police earlier, and I don't know why I didn't think of it, the reason we complain so much about black people dying at the hands of unarmed black people dying at the hands of police are stories like the one that I've seen over the last couple days where this guy gets pulled over. He's a sovereign citizen. He gets pulled over, and he continuously reaches for weapons, and he is subdued.
Oh, yeah.
Without being tasered.
Yeah.
Without being punched. And he's just arrested. He's in jail, safe and sound right now, snug as a bug in a rug.
Yeah.
But
Dylan Roof.
Had he been black, he'd be dead. I'm sorry. Nobody can convince me otherwise. Because a teenager with Skittles and a T was gunned down. A young man who was trying to get away from the police, maybe wrongly, but I believe this cop was wrong, was gunned down and his body left in the middle of the street in what seemed like a warning to others.
Right.
In Ferguson. a guy who was like, look, quit harassing me, was choked to death in New York. And two women now have mysteriously hung themselves in jail in the South.
And setting a pattern.
I mean, come on now. But this guy who hates the government, who had six weapons in his vehicle, and the last weapon he reached for was on his person in the small of his back from the report I heard. There were no guns drawn on him. There were no tasers drawn on him. There were no batons used on him. He's just in jail. He's just in jail. And I'm looking for the story right now because it galls me. It really galls me that this happened. I'm not saying that I think he should be dead. I don't think any of these people should be dead.
Yeah, it just shows the restraint and the difference in treatment for people of color and people who are Caucasian in this country when it comes to law enforcement issues.
Right. You know, and there was recently a black man killed in Cincinnati during a traffic stop. He says the guy tried to take off and run him over, so he shoots him in the side of the head during a traffic stop. There's a NYPD cop who slams an 11-year-old girl in the Bronx to the ground. And I'm looking for the story I'm thinking of, and for some reason I'm not seeing it. And it's burning me. It galls me. It galls me.
It's a sad state of affairs in this country.
I'm not coming across it, but the story as seen more than once, this dude had six weapons in his car. He reached in front of the police for at least three of them. And he's alive today to tell the story to his kids and brag about how much of a badass he is when he gets out of jail.
Well, let's move on to politics. We've got a couple articles there before we finish off with entertainment. The biggest news we had this week as far as politics was that U.S. and Cuba reopened the embassies in each other's countries. So that's moving on. And to me, this is actually a bigger win for the president than the Iran deal, because it's something I think is long overdue. I know that there are Cuban Americans who are still not happy that we would have any relations with Cuba because the Castros are still there and in power. But at the same time, this will open up important avenues for trade for the two countries, for tourism, and they can see their families, people who, I mean, it's still slow. They're still cracking the doors open. But it's rapidly appearing that you will be able to go back and forth to see families if you've been separated for decades because of the embargoes and travel restrictions and everything else. I think this is a great story.
it's an incredibly good story. Because, I mean, let's think about this. Let's think about this for a second. Here's a country who's your enemy, who is 90 miles off your coast. They no longer have a major ally. You know, the Soviets aren't backing them anymore. To quote the president on the subject when he was talking about this a year or two ago, he's like, Cuba can't fight us.
No.
Cuba can't fight a state by itself.
Nope.
Cuba's no threat to America.
Nope.
And to quote him more directly and recently, you don't have to make peace with your friends. You have to make peace with your enemies. Yeah. Why not make peace with a country within your sphere of influence?
Yeah.
I mean, I know the quote-unquote American influence in the 21st century is the whole world, but this is 90 miles off your southern border, your most southern border,
We've always been more successful when we open commerce and trade than when we use military force or political force when it comes to getting people to like Americans, because on an interpersonal level, when people meet and they connect, then it translates to the goodwill for that whole nation. And so, you know, it's, excuse me, served us well in the past, and I think it'll serve us well now with Cuba in the future. Well, one thing that was brought up, though, is, you know, there's those in the Republican Party that said they will never agree to any deals that are relieving restrictions on trade and things like that with Cuba. Well, guess what? The Canadians, you know, Mexico, all these other countries are going to go and take advantage of these restrictions being lifted. And by the time our government gets in action, there won't be any deals for us to be made for our farmers and, you know, for our tourist agencies and everything else.
Well, okay, because let's just remember that, and I hate to keep saying it like this, but the Republicans are the stupid party. they want to fight over things that don't matter. They want to fight things that are none of their business, or they want to fight things that don't matter. They just like being disagreeable for the sake of being disagreeable. Some of them. I don't think this is all of them, but I think some of them.
A significant portion, and they don't slap down the hands of those that get out of control nearly enough.
No, they don't. Which is why I lean more Democratic, because at least Democrats will say, go sit down and shut up with that bull.
Yeah.
Even though they have their own issues along many lines, and I think we'll talk about it in a minute as we go through our politics section. But it's just one of those things where it's like, you're supposed to be the party of business. You're supposed to be the party of hey, let's grow the economy. I mean, you know, you have other countries who do hate us because we have a sneaky invasion. Our invasion is to send McDonald's.
Exactly.
We send it's McDonald's. Culture. We send culture. You know, I mean, do you know how much people think that collecting Jordans is something new? Do you know how much they pay for Jordans in Japan? Do you know how much they pay for old, used, beat-up Levi's in Japan? Now, that may be out of style now, but I remember reading stories where you could get $400 or $500 for a pair of Levi's that you sweated in, pounded in, did whatever in. You could get $400 or $500 for that raggedy pair of Levi's because they were Levi's.
Yep.
And it was an American thing. Not that Levi's are really American anymore because they make them overseas these days.
Well, what
God,
is it?
They suck now.
What is it made overseas now?
The Kirkland jeans I now buy.
Okay.
Out of Costco. And they might be, for all I know.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just one of those deals where it's like, come on, man, y'all got to grow up. I'm sick of y'all. I'm sick of y'all.
Well,
seriously.
You say that. I just saw an article on a Public Enemy is huge in Mexico right now.
What in Mexico happened?
Public Enemy is huge in Mexico.
Okay.
But, we were saying how the Republicans handle issues. Now, that brings us to our next article. It's out of Washington Post. Talking about Donald Trump, and he said that basically John McCain isn't a war hero because he was captured, and he doesn't like to be around people who would let themselves be captured. So for once, the Republicans quickly fought back, and whatever people may think of John McCain and his political life, it is undeniable that this man did incredible feats while he was a prisoner of war, and that he served his country honorably and went through things that others would not have. And he had opportunities to leave the prison camp early and did not take them. And his body bears the wounds of those today. And for someone like Donald Trump, who ran away from the war by getting, what do they call them? Deferments.
Yeah,
so he can make his millions.
And every story about Donald Trump at the age he would have been when he went in is that this dude was an athlete. He went to a military academy as a teenager. You know, he likes to play like he's this great businessman. You know what? If I started out with a couple hundred million dollars, I'd be a great businessman too.
Yeah.
You know, but screw him. You know, hearing about John McCain's record as a pilot, he gets no props from me for that. But the man flew his missions. He did it. He did the job that was assigned to him. And during that time, he got shot down and he got captured. And he served 5 years in a prison camp where he underwent torture. That's why the man can barely move his shoulders.
Yep.
That he deserves to be honored for. That he does not deserve Trump's nonsense for.
No.
You know, no one who actually got off their butt and went and served deserves that kind of disrespect from some a-hole who didn't.
Right.
And no one who got up and served, well, you know what? I can't even say that because that wouldn't be fair. But the crew of deferment lovers, I'm talking to you, Rush Limbaugh, and you, Dick Cheney,
yeah,
and you, George W., I know you didn't actually get a deferment, but your daddy hooked you up so you didn't have to go to Vietnam.
No, but he served. He did serve.
He served, but he got out of taking his ass over there. So, you know, by way of daddy's pool, which I guess if I had a kid and that much money, I'd probably do the same damn thing. So, you know,
I don't begrudge him. I mean, he did serve. He, you know,
nobody
he didn't have to, you know, put it that way. He could have not gone at all, but he did. So.
He did his time in the Air National Guard.
And as an enlisted for a short while, too.
Yeah, we won't go into the stories or rumors that he was never actually there. But on the books and on the records, he served. And let's call it a day at that for him. But I'm talking to you, Donald Rumsfeld, Mr. Deferment. So, you know, none of those people get the right to question anybody's military service. And the thing that makes me mad about Republicans right now is all that crew that jumped up and down on John Kerry's military service in 2004 are now whining that Donald Trump dared scream at John McCain. Even though Trump was wrong, they were just as wrong.
Well, I think they were wrong for not screaming about Trump before when he made his statements about illegal aliens. I mean, there's been so many things he's done just in the run-up to his even trying to announce his presidency that it's ridiculous.
I was going to go there, too. His racist statements against black people, against Hispanic people, against women, against everyone who isn't a white male billionaire. You know, he should not have been allowed to run, but you idiots created this monster. Yes, and I'm calling them idiots because they did create that monster. I'm sorry. You know, you already have a pack of people who have no business running seriously for the highest office in the land.
Well, they're going to drop off here really quick.
Okay.
But, you know, oddly enough, Trump is leading the polls right now for the Republicans, which I think just, to me, it better be a case of people just trolling. And, you know, when it goes to the primaries, it reality sets in. But can you imagine if he was on the ticket? I would just lose complete respect for the American people. I would.
I wouldn't lose respect for the American people. It would just serve to reinforce the thing that I think about a lot of quote-unquote so-called conservatives in this country. There are real conservatives, and then there are Republicans. A real conservative just has a way of thinking and a mindset of, okay, I don't want to see too much change, okay? I don't want to see too much change. I like things the way they are. I want to conserve the way things are, or I want to save something as it is. That's the definition of conserving. A Republican doesn't want to save anything. A Republican is loud. They want to be boisterous. They want to see things go backwards. I'm sorry. They just, the ones that I'm seeing just do. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't tolerate a person like Trump. They wouldn't. Who else is it?
I think you just described politicians.
Well, I'm describing politicians, period. And I mean, maybe my definition is off a little bit, but what I'm saying is a Trump wouldn't be able to run 30 years ago. He'd get laughed out. A Ben Carson wouldn't be able to run 30 years ago, not because he was black, but because he said dumb stuff. he wouldn't be able to run. Nobody would take him
well,
seriously.
And I think that's where the trolling thing comes in, because I think it's more a matter of people want to see this stuff in the news, and they treat the politics as if it's more of the tabloid.
Yeah,
and keep that in there. But
it.
When it comes down to it, as I said, when we get closer to the primaries and it's time for people to vote, I think that it'll just drop off. And
well, I don't know about that, because you have guys like Rick Santorum who have run in the last three elections. They just keep popping back up, and they keep saying the exact same stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And in the last election cycle, every Republican candidate, no matter what stupid, crazy, asinine, short bus thing, ended up in the lead for that primary at some point.
Yeah, but also, those last two elections, they were their own worst enemies, and I think they realize that. So I think there's more going on behind the scenes. But I just, to me, the attention that he's continues to get, and that people haven't just simply written him off, is part of the media cycle, just wanting to keep the drama going. And
well, I think there's that.
Yeah, but I think on the political side, I don't believe he really has a strong chance, as it's made to believe, as you're made to believe, based on reporting.
Well, no, I don't believe he has as strong a chance as it's looking like right now either. What I'm saying is the fact that he's leading in the polls and so many, and I mean, he only has a quarter of the Republican electorate
right
now, and everybody that you're hearing lauding him, they're all saying the same things. Well, he's a straight shooter. He's saying stuff that I want to hear people say. So basically, what you're saying is you're a racist. Basically, what you're saying is you can't count, because there's a guy at my job. I don't think he's a racist, but let's. He said he would vote for Trump over Hillary Clinton, okay? And he asked me if I had a choice between the two. I was like, I'd vote for Hillary if it came down between the two. And he's like, well, why? I think Trump would be great for the economy. He's a businessman. I'm like, he's run four businesses into the ground to the point where they declared bankruptcy. I don't think he's a good businessman.
No.
He's good for his own pocket.
He's good the same way Walt Disney was good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's not a good candidate. He should never even be considered. He shouldn't even be running. He should be running as a third party joke.
Yeah.
But he's running. Almost everybody on the Republican side, aside from the guy who got in today, Kasich.
Yeah.
And he's an idiot too. And he's actually from around here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I ain't claiming him. They're morons.
Yeah,
every last one of them has nothing real to offer other than some madness that they had to offer the last time when they got trounced.
And as I said before, you know, I do lean more towards the conservative side, but I haven't been able to support anyone on the Republican ticket for a while now. I'm still hoping there's some in between the Republicans and the Democrats, but I just don't see it. I mean, so far, probably leaning more towards the Democrat side right now.
Right.
Because there's just idiots on the Republican side right now.
Well, and don't get me wrong. It's like, we need at least two parties. I don't want single-party rule, but I don't want what I'm getting right now.
No.
What I'm getting right now is I almost have to, by default, pick the Democrat. Not because I want to, because I'm a slave to it, but because I see what's on the other side. I see what the other side does in Congress every day.
Hey,
you know, I can't ride with them.
Hey, I'm with you right now in that thought. It doesn't make me happy.
Right.
I would like a strong Republican candidate, if for no other reason, to make sure there's a strong Democratic candidate where you could talk about real issues and maybe have a chance of doing something after the next elections. But it's iffy right now.
Yeah, it's real iffy right now. And I mean, for the people who like to say there's no real difference between the two parties, I'm going to give you one major difference. You don't see Democrats running out saying coded racial crap every 5 minutes, or some of them even blatant out loud racial crap every 5 minutes. like you do on the Republican side.
Well, and what gets me is so far with the Republicans that are out there right now who have declared themselves as running, they don't make a point of running for all Americans. And I'll just leave it at that. They have a very clear agenda. They're not even pretending that they're running for all that represents America.
Right. They're running for a very narrow set
yes.
of people. And they're almost to the point where they're unapologetic about it.
Yes.
And then they trot out a Bobby Jindal, who I don't know how he graduated college. Then they trot out Ben Carson. He's a brain surgeon. Oh, well, that means he's really smart. Have you heard what he said about policy? then they trot out Carly Fiorina. Well, she's a businesswoman. She was a CEO. Have you seen what she's done to HP?
Yeah. Oh.
I was a fan of HP before
yeah.
her. And the list of this goes on.
Right.
And it's like, then they say, well, what do the Democrats have? Okay, well, Bernie Sanders really isn't a Democrat, and we're going to talk about him in a second. But I like some of the things he has to say, but I have some questions about what he'll do. Martin O'Malley, well, he's kind of the reason Baltimore is the way it is with its policing, because he was the mayor of Baltimore when he started
right.
doing this crap.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else is major? Joe Biden hasn't come out and said whether he's going to run or not.
Well, you haven't mentioned the forerunner.
Oh, I'm getting there. then you have Biden, who hasn't said whether he's not he's going to run. Then you have Elizabeth Warren, who the more I hear of her and more I hear of her speak, I want her to run, but she's unwilling to and won't.
Yeah.
And then you have the presumed front runner, Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm not even going to place her husband's stuff on her, because they're still two different people.
Yes.
But there's still a lot alike, because they've been married forever.
Yeah.
But the thing about her is, she was highly educated. She ran for and won her own office in New York as a senator. A lot of people like to forget that.
Yeah.
She served as Secretary of State for 4 years, and the world didn't blow up, even though people tried to jump on her with Benghazi, which is another farce from the far right.
Oh, and, not so much, but, I mean...
We can agree to disagree there. Stuff happens
hey,
in Benghazi. I don't think it is. I don't think it is what the right makes it out to be, and I don't think it's as clean as the left makes it out to be. I just know there wasn't as much concern about a hell of a lot more people getting killed than there was about those four people getting killed.
I'll just say, yes, the right is trying to use that and blow it up out of proportion, but at the same time, there were decisions that were made that were not right that led to people dying, and she was the one that was in charge of that. So.
Well, it ended up with her, for me, it ended up being a case of the buck stops with her as Secretary of State. But when you have her office of Secretary of State asking for more money and Congress cutting it, that doesn't drop at her doorstep.
The military can't use that excuse, and they got the same thing. And we still seem to do what we have to do, but we don't have enough people or any. It's the same. So,
well, I'll put it like this. If you're going to cut the budget for something, if you're going to cut the budget for security, you can't whine when that security goes to hell. That's the way I look at it. I mean, it's like the same thing I get at work. You know, you design a product with the top of the line everything, and then when you may be paying 10 to 15 cents a component on a board for electronics. But then when you want to start producing this out in the field, you only want to pay half a penny per component to have it manufactured. Yeah, well, the one that you're paying half a penny for isn't going to work as well as the one that you paid a dime per component for.
Yeah, but it wasn't all about money with those decisions were made.
And the government as a whole
suffers from that.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, I know. I understand what you're saying. I was just trying to get my point out with that right there. And I think there's a lot of that goes on that went into how many hearings are we on for that now?
Yeah, but it's a well, we're tangenting, but
yes, we are. we can riff back and forth on each other about that when we start recording. But yeah, as far as the two fields go, I mean, I'm left with a pack of dullards and a couple of racists and a guy who wants to send me back to a sweatshop, Scott Walker, and a former mayor of a city, two former mayors of cities, one former governor of a state, a senator, two senators, one former secretary of state, and the Democratic Socialist senator is saying all the stuff that I want to hear from a progressive standpoint about getting money out of politics and doing and bringing jobs back to the country. But I think he has a blind spot on racial issues, as the Netroots Nation thing seemed to point out, if you want to take it there now.
And, well, my thing is this, and because we're running really late here, but all things being equal, if everyone is treated the same and you make sure that that's the case, then the racism issue will generally take care of itself, which we have not been able to get to in this country, to where everyone is just treated the same. So race is not an issue because you rise or fail on your own merits. So yes, to focus just on the economy and to try and ignore that race problems do not exist is wrong.
Right.
At the same time, though, if you're taking care of the economy, it's been proven too through history in our country that wealth can spread and that it can benefit everyone, not just those who are at the top. So if you look at the better of two evils, I would go for that rather than someone who recognizes there's a racial problem, but to them it's just a tool to be used for getting votes.
Yeah,
and they never plan on actually solving those issues, which is where we've been with both parties being in office. So, again, not having anyone really who stands out that you want to vote for, I would probably lean that way.
Yeah, right now, in looking at the things, considering the people who are running, I'm not in love with anybody.
No,
I'm definitely not in love with anybody. I wasn't big on Barack Obama until I started really seeing his stump speeches and seeing what was going on as the primary geared up. We're still a year and a half away. There hasn't been a debate yet. There hasn't been anything. I just know that what I'm seeing on the Republican side of the aisle, there's no way. I just can't. You know, that's not saying that my mind can't be changed. It's unlikely because I know the results of Republicans in office.
Well, and again, as someone who has voted Republican in the past, I'm with you. I am completely with you on that right now. But let's, if we can, move on to entertainment. Okay. I just had a few things, and one of them is on Kotaku, which is a big gaming and just kind of Japanese-centric website. They had an article on the art of Gundam shown in Tokyo, so both of you and I like Gundam. And I wish I could go to this. It's a big exhibition, and they have everything from actual pieces of the Gundam, large scale, to anime drawings, some of it from fan art, and it's just a really eclectic mix of things that celebrate Gundam. Pretty cool.
They were putting up a 1/6 scale Wing Gundam Zero somewhere.
It may have been there.
That I saw. It might be at this thing. I mean, some of these, this art and the detail that goes into these models, in any Japanese model that was an anime, is insane. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure you've my sci-fi and comics page. I mean, you're a member of that.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've seen some of the stuff I've posted.
Yeah.
and it's just like looking at the detail on this, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, you say that, and when we were unpacking my son's stuff, I realized I had sent him models from Korea when I was there, and he's never put them together because they were too complex. Right. And so we saw him like, oh, cool. He has them. They're still in the package and everything. So we can, that's something we could do together, not a raw back together. But
and that's what's up.
Yeah. At this exhibition, though, what's cool is at the end of it, you go out right into the store where you can buy the models.
Right.
So they seem to be pretty pricey, but.
They're definitely not cheap. I mean, you know, 5,000 yen or something might be like 50 or 60 bucks.
Yeah.
I don't know the conversion, but. I mean, I have several of these things, and I've built more than what I display. And matter of fact, I'm in the middle of, for anybody else who does this, I'm in the middle of a Gundam. Which one is this? It's the red frame. It's the ASTRAE red frame, and I'm trying to see what it is because it's the one with the backpack.
Oh, okay.
And it's the one I'm building, a 1-100. It's the one with the tactical arms too on it. I want the 160,
right.
But the price for the 160 is insane. It's almost $200. It's even more than that.
Well,
it's even more than that, depending on where you go for it. I want that kit.
Here you go, Matt. They have a Gundam Converge Limited Gold Edition, which goes for 3,780,000 yen, which converts to $30,467. So if you empty your piggy bank, you could go ahead.
Yeah,
and
I don't. I don't. How much money is that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah. It's like $30,000 for a Gundam model. I don't think.
Well,
so.
I mean, if you. Yeah, I don't. I don't. If I was rich, I wouldn't pay that.
Yeah,
much
exactly. Even if I was rich, I wouldn't pay that.
But it's like you have the people to do this stuff, and for that, if I'm going to pay that much money for a Gundam model, you know what it has to do? I have to be able to ride in it and have to shoot things when I pull the trigger.
They have those, but they cost a lot more. They make them in Japan, too. I saw some that are really cool rolled around. But the other thing I have for entertainment was something that makes me excited. Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Star Wars game that came out, almost 10 years now ago, I think, or something like that.
Right.
They have put out a huge official patch on Steam for the game, which adds 37 achievements. You can now have Steam cloud saves, so your saves will go anywhere, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And it supports modern controllers, so the 360, Xbox One, PlayStation 3 and 4 controllers.
Right.
And Steam Workshop, which means that you'll be able to download mods. And you can change the force speed effects, stuff like that. So really cool.
That's cool.
Something for a game that old. It's got mods because I have it on Steam, but it's kind of janky and I've lost my saves multiple times. So I had just decided, I'm not going to play that game again. I never was able to finish because every time you change something or something happens, your save would get corrupted. And I just got tired of playing it over and over, but. Being able to keep that save, I think I will go back now. And it's updated graphics. So if you have a super rig, you can actually play it in 4K or 5K, which I don't know what that would look like.
I don't know what that would look like because a super rig is well beyond my means.
Yeah, I mean, a 4K, right, you've got to have two like GTX 980 cards or something, which I think those are like $350, $400 a piece, something like that, I think.
I'm not, even if I hit the lottery tomorrow, I'm just not doing that.
Yeah, no.
And I need an upgrade to my towers anyway.
Hey, I will be reinstalling it at least and checking it out.
Right.
Now.
Well, for me, messing around with the home world,
the
upgrade. Mm-hmm. I had fun messing with them. They were fun plays. The graphics were definitely a step up, and it's just like I just was hoping the one mod would be in there, and it's not.
No,
so I still have to go back to the old. I still have to go back to the original one, which is on my computer to play the mod. Play that mod.
Did you check Steam Workshop? I think it supports that too, so it might be in there just under a different name.
Right. I mean, you know, I'll check it out. It's just I haven't had time to sit down and play. And
yeah, I understand.
My computer that Homeworld works best on is also the one that likes to die and give me the blue screen of death a lot.
Right.
So it's kind of like, okay, I'm on. Are you going to work long enough for me to do anything?
Well, I'm in.
It's kind of like that thing.
I'm in the process of getting ready to build a new computer so I could pass my current one on to my son so he can give his to my daughter, you know, because they're at that age now where they need their own stuff.
Right.
So I've been looking at it. I got a good mid-rig layout that I think I'm going to build. I never get the top of the line stuff because it's not worth the investment, you know.
No.
But
when I used to buy my computers, because I think the two that I have now are both from 2008 and 2009, respectively. And what I think it is that what I used to try to do was I would try to buy it not top of the line, but well above what the specs were for games and stuff all
right
over the place.
Yeah.
And I'd buy it well above that, so I knew I had at least 4 or 5 years out of it.
Yeah. And that's what I did.
Without having to worry about another one.
Yeah, so I just upgrade them, so I extend the life of my computers quite a bit. And, yeah, I think I got a good rate. There's a program or a website, I'll just throw this in there. It's called PCPartPicker.com,
okay.
I think. And you go on that site, and they have some custom builds that you can pull up, or you could create an account, make your own, and you can pick the processor, motherboard, all the things you want, and it goes out and cross-checks with the cost with the most common websites you would go to order PC parts. So you can spec out your machine on there and get an idea. So even if you're not going to build it yourself, you have a price range as to what it should cost when you purchase it from someone else, so you can know if it's a good deal or not. But I like that site, and they've really updated the past couple of years. So, yep. But that's all I have for entertainment. Did you have anything?
No, I don't have anything.
Well,
I don't have anything. I don't have anything extra. Other than the fact that I'm building that Gundam Ashtray, and it's like I'm like halfway through it, and it went. So I'm gonna try to get back to it this weekend. Try to get it finished.
Yeah, I will be putting together a B-17 I purchased here model. So yeah, but you check Facebook for my story on that. But that'll be
my next
project, I guess.
Yeah, because you are I can't do the glue, man. I can't do the glue.
Yeah, well, it's easy now. They got, you know, so many things. I use a paintbrush a lot of times. Put the glue on the plastic paintbrush and then apply it, so it makes it a nice seal.
Cool.
But is it. You all have sat with us again for another episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And we'd encourage you to go out to our website on believethat.blackvalor.net. You could also check us out on iTunes and leave comments, feedback on our forums on the website. That's really the best place to go to get everything. You can have a link to iTunes or RSS feed or any other area. I don't know why I'm having a memory lapse here. Oh, Facebook and Twitter. I believe that. Or if you want to go a little older school, you can just email us at believethatnews@gmail.com and we will reply. So, with that said, we will see you next week.
See you next week and have a good one.